Mary Wiedenhoff is from Iowa State, and today her talk is entitled Learning in a Context, Farmers as Teachers.
Okay, so I'm the last speaker, not because I know it all, but it's because I get the most time. So we'll just keep going until we're done, okay? I haven't lectured this week, so here we go. Well, I want to tell you a little bit about what I'm doing with learning in context. And I really want to start by saying that I am not the expert. I know that each one of you are probably doing some very similar kinds of things. And I'd rather have a discussion about this than some kind of presentation. But unfortunately, that's not the way it's working today. So I want to start with my story, and then I'm going to ask you about your story, and so that we can have some interaction about what are the kinds of things that we're doing in the classroom, because every day is an adventure when you are learning. So to give you a little bit of background, I guess I'm starting with my principles or values in as an instructor, but also as a student. I'm thinking back to my days as an instructor, and what were the things that looking back, I wish I could have done, or the things that were difficult for me when I graduated, that why didn't I have more experience with this? So I'm very interested in active learning. I want to engage the students. I want to engage them in authentic kinds of situations. I want to prepare them for the real world as if college is just a fantasy. But I want them to be ready to hit the ground running and to be good employers and to be able to help their clients. And I want them to understand that there's more to agronomy than just the biological and the physical. But there's these social aspects that they need to talk about. So I'm very interested in agroecology, where we're putting all of those three things together. I tell the students we have all of these great best management practices, but why are they not adopted? It's because we don't think about the social. So all of my courses and all of my assignments have some social aspect to it. I'm also interested in higher order learning. I heard someone say yesterday, we've trained the thinking out of our students. I want to put the thinking back in. And why are we doing what we're doing and analyzing and reflecting and reevaluating and, again, higher order, asking questions, forming conclusions, evaluating. I also want to try to have the students construct their own knowledge. I don't want to be the sage on the stage. I want them to not be passive. I want them to be interactive in the classroom. And then there's something that I learned quite a while ago, but that is we teach the way we learned. And so a lot of these things of what is happening here are the kinds of ways that I want to learn. So I'm going to just digress for a little bit and talk about learning styles. There are different kinds of learning style delineators out there or surveys, and the one that I use is Anthony Gregoric's. Anthony Gregoric said that when you learn, there are two things going on. It's your perception of the world. And so you have this concrete to abstract. And you're not just one or the other, but this is continuum. And he said the second thing is that it's how you order that information that you're getting in. And so you have, again, this continuum from this sequential linear to this, he used the word random. He doesn't mean out of control random, but he means chunks or multi-stimuli coming in together. So if you put that together, the way people perceive the world, the way we organize the information we're getting, there are four learning styles. So concrete sequential, concrete random, abstract sequential, and abstract random. Now, I can spend a lot of time talking about them, but there are two that I specifically want to talk about. Those are the concrete sequential and the concrete random. Concrete meaning that they're using their senses, less abstract. Less theory and more hands-on, more discovery, okay? Sequential, linear, and random, meaning that they're doing it different ways, how they organize that information. So these students are interested in real-life situations. Now, the concrete sequential doesn't like surprises. The concrete random person loves surprises, okay? So they are different, but they have a lot of similarities. These two are my learning styles. And it also is the majority of our students in agronomy at Iowa State. So they're looking for more hands-on experiences and less theory. So that's why I wanted to do learning in a context, and I wanted to have some discovery, and I wanted to have authentic situations. So I asked a student the other day, what about this? And she said, in the classroom we get the theory, but in the field we get the reality. Because the reality isn't those nice little problems that we have in the classroom. They are, as Chuck mentioned, they're open-ended. They're not easy, and they're not necessarily some right answer. So that sounds really great, but let's talk about the reality of this in relationship to how this goes. Sometimes students are reluctant. And I think part of the reason, even though their learning style says that they're very interested in these kinds of experiences, by the time they get to my classes, they have been in college for a while, and they've never had these experiences. So sometimes they're reluctant to know what they're going to look like. They have been trained to find the right answer. They have been trained to find out what the right answer in Dr. Riedenhoff's mind is. And so they're reluctant because also they have to put some effort into it because I'm not going to tell them everything. And that really kind of ticks them off some days. And I said, think about this. Pretty soon you're graduating. Well, if you pass this class, you will. But pretty soon you're graduating. Is your boss every morning going to give you a 15-minute lecture on what you're going to do today? No. Is your boss going to tell you everything you need to do? And if they are, they're micromanaging you, and I'm guessing you're not interested in that. So I'm weaning you off. You've got to start thinking. Okay. There's no correct answer. So that's hard for some students. I also ask them to give me their answer and a justification and a consequence for their answer. So not only do you have to have an answer, but you have to understand the why and the what and how. It's also difficult to grade, okay? Because I'm not just looking for this one answer, just, you know, zip through looking for this answer. I actually have to go through all of their papers because each person could have a different response. So again, that's open-answered or open-ended cases. It requires more instructor resources. It's hard to do in large classes. So my class, most classes are about 20 to 25, so I have the luxury of doing this kind of learning. And then there are some additional expenses. I want to give you a couple of examples of what I'm doing, and then we'll have a discussion about some examples that you guys are doing. So the first example is a course. It's a capstone course in our undergraduate program, Systems Analysis in Crop and Soil Science. I'm interested in critical thinking. I'm interested in problem solving. These students are graduating seniors often, or seniors, so they have a lot of course background. I'm also interested in that social aspect, and that social aspect isn't just sociology, but it's also economics. Again, written and oral communications, our students are needing more and more practice of that. And also persuasion and being able to spontaneously answer questions. In addition, then, some computer skills using different kinds of software. In this course, a couple of the assignments are engaging the client or the farmer. So we talk about the client. The scenario is that these students are independent crop consultants and this client comes to them. So the process is that they may have quite a bit of previous knowledge and they may not. So I do spend a little bit of time sort of getting everybody on the same page. We visit the client and I ideally would like to visit each farm, but not always can we do this. Again, when they go to the farm, there's more observation. We are with the client in their environment as opposed to them coming to us. They interview the client, they gather the information, they review the documents. Sometimes those documents are incomplete, sometimes they're more than complete. So they have to sort through all of the information in order to make some kind of recommendation using the tools and information that they have, sometimes individually, sometimes in groups. They create a partial budget, and then they communicate back to the client. When they communicate to the client, sometimes it's a one-on-one with the client. Sometimes it's a written memo or letter, depending upon the assignment. After all of that is done, then I ask them to do some reflection on the process and what are the things that they learned, and also what were the things that were hard for them. So one of the assignments is that they're going to make a production recommendation. This is what they're working on. Actually, as I speak, they are working on that. So they're making fertilizer and liming recommendations using different soil sampling techniques. They're providing costs. They're providing consequences for their recommendations, both environmentally and economically. And then I'm asked them to create a partial budget. The question that the farmer is asking is they're thinking about changing the way they are applying their nitrogen in the spring, and they're asking the students to provide some economic decision. Now, I spend a lot of time talking about, so you provide an economic decision, but there are also other consequences to that decision. So agronomically, what's going on, even though the farmer hasn't specifically asked for that, but agronomically, what's going on, and then socially, do they have the time to do this, and what are the implications of that? So through this example, they're also doing some GIS. They're also doing some spreadsheet work as well. The second client is asking about manure management recommendations, and so they're using the Iowa DNR forms, so the kinds of forms that they would be using if they were a crop consultant in Iowa. Again, identifying the consequences of their recommendations. And to create a partial budget, the farmer initially asked this question. They were considering using manure instead of synthetic fertilizer, and would they save money by doing that? Well, that sounds like a duh. Of course they would save money. And it's not until the students get to the farm that they realize that the farmer had no hogs and had no manure and had to build buildings. So it's a bigger picture than simply exchanging manure for synthetic fertilizer. Since then, that farmer has built those hog units, and so the question now is he still saving money by having those hog units? He has several different farms, fields, and so the students in my undergraduate class will be working with a particular field, in my graduate, a whole farm. The third assignment is not so much being a crop consultant, but thinking about nutrient cycling in relationship to an agricultural system. So, you know, we have different cycles. So we have water, energy, carbon, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium cycles. So what I remember from my undergraduate days is that I learned all those cycles, but I learned the nitrogen cycle here, and I learned the phosphorus cycle here, and the potassium cycle here. And often when I learned them, I had this kind of diagram. The diagram showed every single component of that cycle, but no one ever told me, well, maybe they did and I didn't hear this, but no one ever told me that not all components of that cycle happen on every single field or every single farm or every single agroecosystem. Also, there's no context to that. So what I am asking the students to do is, first of all, we visit a farm and they are given a cycle and they are to interview the farmer about what are the components of that cycle in relationship to a field, to their whole farm, and then off farm. This particular farmer is a young farmer. He's a no-till farmer, and for some students, they've never been to a no-till farm. So he's actually just showing them the different pieces of his equipment and how the different parts of it work. When they come back, then they are then asked to diagram that cycle. And what I find very interesting is you can see there's the field, the on-farm, the off-farm, and then there's the soil surface. So I'm thinking, great, they're putting it into context, they're putting that cycle into context. But sometimes soil erosion happens under the soil surface. Sometimes grain harvest goes up into the sky. Sometimes the plants have no roots. And I'm thinking, so what seemed to be really quite easy, I thought, is not necessarily hard. So we have back and forth for a while until we get to a diagram that is really truly in context and diagrams that cycle. Now, each student is doing a cycle, and then they get together in a group, and they put it all together because it's all happening together on that field, on that farm, and off farm. And so what they realize then is that these cycles are interacting, these cycles are connecting with one another, and that making a change over here, yes, influences that cycle, but can also influence other cycles. From that, in some years, we've done multiple different kinds of farms so they can make a comparison about the cycles. And some years, we look at what's the leverage point, where are some changes that could happen, and what are the consequences of that change. Okay, I also teach a distance course, and you're thinking, well, how can we do that with a distance course? I just have a lot of media-rich information, so a lot of images. We do video of things happening on the farm, and then I ask the students to send me the questions they would ask the farmer if they could go to that farm, and then I go to the farm and the farmer answers the questions on video. So it's not the discussion that we have if we're face-to-face with the farmer, but it is still the students' questions and, and gaining that information. The last course you've heard a little bit about, and that's the agroecosystem field course. And again, we're very interested in coming to the farm and asking the farmers to help us understand their system, why they're doing what they're doing, how is this working out, and how does their farm fit into the bigger picture or into their community. So the students are in groups, and they're asked to look holistically at this agroecosystem, so the economics, the agronomics, the social, and any other kinds of pieces to that farm. One of the points that was made earlier, and I want to just reiterate that, and that is, as instructors, I am co-learning. I don't know necessarily the right answer. I haven't been to the farm for a year, and so, again, we are learning just as well as the students. So on this farm, this is a farm in Minnesota. We go to four different states, Minnesota, Nebraska, South Dakota, and Iowa. We do large farms, small farms, grain only, grain and livestock, vegetable, big farms, little farms. They're all family owned. That's the connecting piece to them. In this farm, Tony in the center is talking about aphids, and so the students are now counting the number of aphids that are on the soybean plant. So for some students, they've done this before. For others, it's a new experience. Tori is a young farmer, and he was talking about how he had rejuvenated his soil by having perennials on his soil and by grazing. So he talks about grazing management, but then he has a shovel and he digs up the soil, and here he's giving a soil science presentation about his soil and how it is different. Jason is a young farmer who is an organic farmer, and there are one of the students said, well, how do you deal with diseases and illnesses with your cows? So he goes and he gets all the products that they use, and he starts telling them about each one of those products. Again, we could have done that in the classroom. We could have interviewed Jason. We could have filtered all that information, but he simply told them, and we removed the middle person. Harlan has confinement operations, both hog and beef. He's talking in this particular case with his beef operation about what regulations he would have to follow. This is an Iowa regulation, so you have to follow with the Iowa DNR if he would increase the number of animals on his feedlot. And so he's explaining to the students, there's no lecture going on. So farmers as teachers, so just a little bit of logistics. How do I connect with the farmers? And that was one of the questions that I had asked Chuck. First of all, my extension colleagues both on campus and off campus help me with farmers. I also have that we have the Practical Farmers of Iowa. So again, we have farmers all across Iowa. I can ask them if I'm looking for a particular kind of farm or if I'm looking for a farm in a particular location. I'm starting to use former students now who have been in my class, who have really enjoyed that experience and have said, anytime you want to come, let me know. I do pay an honorarium to the farmers. I provide $50 per contact hour. Sometimes I have grant money. It used to be in the operating budget for teaching, but now I'm supplementing through other forms. And also we have a course fee. I also try to do as much in-kind services as I can for the farmer, partly to help me, but also to help them. So if I'm interested in a manure analysis and they haven't had one, we do a manure analysis. So we're doing a field trip this weekend. The farmer hasn't done any manure analysis. I'm taking the equipment so we can do that. Aerial photos, soil sampling, and plant analysis I also have provided. So I asked one of the farmers, this is Dave, and I asked him, so why do you keep doing this? I mean, 1 year we spent, he came to campus for one-to-one client presentations, 5 hours. There were 15 students. I said, why do you keep doing this? It's not because I'm paying you a lot. And he said, it's simply this. I want the next generation to know how to do these kinds of things. I want them to see that it's not all black and white, that there is complexity, and that they need to be thinking and not simply looking for the right answer. So with that, I don't know if we have time, but I'd like to hear your story and to hear about the kinds of things that you are doing using farmers as teachers. So thank you.